Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Good afternoon. And I am chatting to Shiran Ilan Peruma, journalist and economic research analyst in Sri Lanka. How are you this afternoon?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for making the time and for giving us more insight into what is happening in Sri Lanka. And perhaps you can just take us through a little bit of the history. What's really caused the protests and what's really sparked this that the president's had to obviously fly away as such?
Right. So what I would argue is that it's really the an economic crisis that sparked these protests. Of course, there are various other underlying factors. So, you know, basically when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, Sri Lanka, which relies a lot on tourism inflows, was severely affected. So we lost a lot of foreign currency revenue from tourism. And then at the same time, by 2021, we saw global oil prices rising. And so we basically had more foreign currency outflows. During this whole time, the government was trying to control the exchange rate, but we essentially ran out of foreign reserves. And a fixed exchange rate was no longer tenable. That led to a depreciation of the currency, which in turn led to spiraling inflations as the currency was devalued and the cost of living went up severely, especially Sri Lankans depend on a lot of imported food, wheat, lentils, tinned fish, things like that. That's really what triggered the early protests. That combined with obviously the shortages of fuel, rolling power cuts, and things sort of escalated from there. The sort of rallying call of the protests, which the protests themselves, I mean, they're composed of a lot of different interest groups. So you can't really pin down one faction. But the one rallying call was for the president to resign. And they've been asking for that for a couple of months now. And it does seem like they might have their demand met soon.
But the president, he's obviously fled now. So, I mean, what does this mean now? And obviously, I see a state of emergency now. So what does this really mean on the ground?
Right. So the situation is really fluid right now. So you're correct. The president has fled. He is allegedly in the Maldives. He has said that he will resign today, but it's now late in the evening in Sri Lanka, and we have not heard anything formal about a resignation letter. Theoretically, if the president resigns, then the prime minister automatically assumes that position. The complication here is that the prime minister is from a party that only has one seat in parliament. The prime minister himself wasn't even elected. He had to be nominated from the national list. So he has no legitimacy himself, and now within parliament there is a move now asking for him to step down as well before the president steps down. So in the event that the president and the prime minister both step down, power would then fall onto the speaker of parliament. So it's a very fluid and confusing situation. Today protesters have occupied the prime minister's residence, and they've also entered into the state broadcasting corporation and sort of demanded that they cease their regular coverage and only cover news of the protests.
And I mean, what is the feeling on the ground with the state of emergency? I mean, is it quite tense? I mean, is there any sort of reactions as such?
So from what I've heard, things haven't really changed despite the call for a state of emergency. The protests are still ongoing. Of course, the composition of the protests appear to be changing. As I said earlier, there was a very broad class coalition within these protests. In the beginning, you had a lot of urban white-collar workers involved, people who traditionally wouldn't protest. You know, this is the middle class that felt their standard of living decline with the shortages and the inflation. Later on, you had more support from left-leaning student unions and public sector unions. So as it stands now, today the protests, the factions involved now appear to be more on the far left groups that are pushing for a more radical solution. I think the feeling is definitely tense. I mean, a lot of Sri Lankans are just very confused and wondering what's going to happen next.
I'm sure. I've just been reading while you were chatting, and police have fired tear gas to disperse a crowd of protesters who are walking near the Prime Minister's office and towards Parliament. So, I mean, I take it that there's a lot of police around at the moment.
Yes, there is. In fact, I think before we started this interview, I just got a news alert that there's a protester who died from a tear gas attack. And the protesters are also approaching Parliament now, and perhaps with the intention to enter and take over Parliament. The exact demands at this point are unclear, but certainly the delay in the president resigning could really aggravate the situation, I think.
Absolutely. And you touched on the Prime Minister and Ranil Wick. Is he in Sri Lanka at the moment?
Yes. Ranil Wickremesinghe, he is in Sri Lanka. You know, he is the sole member from his party that is in Parliament. He is a veteran politician, I would say. He has been in politics and in Parliament since the 70s. Most, you know, young people can't remember a time in Sri Lankan politics where he wasn't a leading figure. He's someone who has, interestingly, always tried to contest for the position of presidency, but he's never been elected to become president. So it is kind of ironic at this moment that through the back door, in some way, he might become the de facto president if the current one resigns.
So today could be a big day, I mean, if the president and the prime minister end up resigning. So, I mean, it's going to be a very significant day.
Yeah, it is very significant. There is supposed to be an election within the parliament on the 20th of July, where a new president will be appointed. This is assuming the current one resigns. The parliament will have to appoint a new president, and it's really up to the opposition leader and all of the other parties in parliament to form an interim government and bring back some sense of normalcy to continue negotiations with IMF and to sort of stabilize the economic situation.
And Shiren Ilan Peruma, journalist and economic research analyst in Sri Lanka, thank you so much for shedding some light and giving us some insight. And we wish you all the very best for Sri Lanka.